The only thing that's going through my mind right now is that blonde reporter in front of the Grammys, and I just hope I don't start doing something like that. I got sober on September 10th, 2007, and it's been a wild three plus years. I was born, the very first time I went to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting was when I was in detox over at 1111 Island Street. And I remember somebody saying, you know, you really do stop growing the very first time you start using and getting drunk. And I'm like, oh, I'm screwed. The very first time I got drunk was when I was 4 years old at my sister's wedding reception. And, of course, I'm like, no, that's not true. That's not. And it was true. So I've just learned to accept that one as I go along. I was born into a family. I'm the youngest of three. I'm 14 years behind my sister. And my family's still very big into, they're wonderful individuals. Love them. Intelligent, giving as a group just doesn't work so well. You know, I think a lot of us can relate to that one. Still doesn't. But what I learned at a young age was don't rock the boat. You know, real boats rock, don't rock the boat. So I remember at a young age, they have a story about me when I was very, very little. I don't remember this. That I used to go up to people. My mom said it was odd because you weren't wheedling about it. You weren't whining about it. You'd look at a perfect stranger and say, do you like me? And, of course, my answer to that is now give that boy a bottle because he needs to hit bottom quick. And that was a problem. I started acting out my life. My life was mostly make-believe. At a young age, around 13, I had access to pharmaceuticals. And that was great because, see, I don't have a problem because I just got them from the doctor. You know, I had a huge aspirin bottle full of uppers, and that was okay. And alcohol in our house, because my father is, I don't know if he's an alcoholic or not, because I can't call him that. He just drinks a lot. He's much happier when he drinks. In fact, I don't go over now if I'm like, has he been drinking? Good. Okay, I can come over. You know, not drinking, ooh, not pretty. But, so nothing that I ever did. I don't remember anything being unusual. I drank. And I drank a lot. I went into the service, and, of course, their drinking is a prerequisite, and I fit in very well. That's where I started smoking, because when you start smoking, you got an extra break, and I'm like, I'm not stupid. I can stand out and smoke a cigarette. And then I spent three packs learning how to blow smoke rings, and I was hooked ever since then. But nothing in my life ever stood out. I don't look back at my life and say, oh, my God, that was a problem. It's just what I did. I drank, and I acted very well while I did it. You know, I was, there wasn't a lot of people that knew even when I was, you know, 42 years old and went into recovery that I even had a problem because I acted really, really well. I knew that if I was having a dinner party, you know, not to drink before the dinner party, get everything prepared before that because then you can drink and just fit in. And everything was completely, completely fake in my life. I don't remember a lot of my life because it was all made up shit. That's what it was. I made up stories about everything and it all had to do with me. You know, I was very successful. I became a CFO of an $80 million a year garment company. We did bathing suits. And I don't have a college degree. I just worked my way up from there. I was very successful. And, in fact, it's funny when people when I was very new in recovery, I was looking at people going, and they would say they'd run out of drugs. And I'm like, what? We ran out of booze. I'm like, I don't understand that whole concept of running out. I didn't do that. But I could see, compare my life to the Space Shuttle Columbia when it fell out of the sky. It just took me 42 years to lose all the bits and pieces until my engines turned into the wind and everything just fell apart. And I can see my life right now. I can look at things. I started losing things. The last 10 years I existed at bottom. But see, I had nice surroundings. I had an office. I had a BMW. I had this. I had that, so I don't have a problem. Well, all that got shedded. You know, at the end, I didn't have a car. I didn't have a job. I didn't have any money. I didn't have anything left except for a bag full of sleeping pills and some razors. I remember that. The day before I got into recovery, I tried to commit suicide by taking, because I'd gone to the emergency room because I was vomiting blood and thought, oh, that might be a problem. And I drank a little bit. And I decided... That Saturday, that was a Thursday night. On Saturday, I was going to commit suicide. So I took all the Librium that they gave me, plus 36 over-the-counting sleeping pills. If anybody's thinking about that, don't do it like that, because you just wake up really, really tired, and it's not good. When I woke up on the bedside was the half bottle of vodka that was my last drink, because that's what I chased everything down with. And that bottle of vodka is still there waiting for me. I can still see it. If I pick up a drink today, what I know from working these steps and being around you lovely people is that that's exactly where I'll wind up, and I can see it. That's my next drink. That half bottle of vodka. You know, I started off with Chopin and everything else like that, and I ended up with charcoal filtered, and it was great. Warm vodka, warm gin. Yeah, dial me in. I'm good. But it was. It was a long, pathetic. There was nothing extraordinarily bad. There was nothing extraordinarily dramatic that ever happened to me in my life. It was just no good. It really wasn't. I'm not up here to say that, you know, oh, it was great. I did a lot of traveling, and everybody looks at me and they go, how wonderful. I've got friends now that say, man, I'm kind of jealous about that. I'm like, but it sucked. Not the traveling sucked. My whole life sucked. And that's the way I look at it. Because when I got into detox, was the very first time that I ever breathed, I think, since I was, you know, asking people as a young kid, do you like me? And I remember a sense of relief. And I remember my very first AA meeting. I remember the table that we were around at 1111 Island. And I remember listening to the steps for the first time. I remember looking at everybody's face, and I remember seeing everybody. And at that point, I thought, ooh, I want what these people have, and I don't have any idea what that is. So at that moment, I started working the steps. You know, I remember doing my third step in the garage where we smoked, and my third step absolutely did not have anything to God, I offer myself to thee to build. I wasn't that far in the book yet. It was more like, I really want this, and left to my own devices, I'm really going to screw this up. Because at that point, I was really scared of the word God. It was really scary. As a friend of mine said one time, saw God, and there was step one and step nine, and I thought, I can do those. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm very, very sorry about it. And that's what... Thank you, Roland. That's what I was stuck with. But then I started on this whole God aspect, and I started looking at my life and seeing... Because I remember being on at the trolley station across from 1111 Island, waiting to get in. And I was sleeping, and I'll never forget, this Hispanic guy shows up, and he's had great shoes on. And he looked at me and says, are you okay, sir? And I said, no, but I think I'm going to be. And I meant it at that time. I had no idea what to expect from Alcoholics Anonymous. No idea. I thought I might be marginally okay without drinking and using, maybe, kind of, sort of. I didn't know that it would give me a life, not one that I would have chosen for myself. Thank God. See, everybody talks about God as this really life, nice, kind, loving, oh, thinks I'm the world of me, I'm the anointed one, or anything else like that. That's not my God. My God doesn't act me. Where do you get one of those? If anybody has any idea what the phone number is, I'd love it. Because my God looks at me and says, oh, you asked for what? You're not going to get that. Thank God. And I thank him all the time. Him, her, it, whatever it is. I don't have a predisposed idea of what God is. It's the most important relationship that I have now. From not having a relationship with anything that was a higher power, because I was my higher power, because I could act my way out of anything. And I just got excessively tired. I remember when I got into detox, I was just tired. I went up to the Freedom Ranch and thought, oh my God, what in gay hell have I gotten myself into? You know, that was the other fact of my life. I'm a gay guy, you know. 11 years old, I figured that one out, went to a priest, and he goes, and so... I was very disappointed. I'm like, that's not at all what I was expecting. So I went there, and that's the only program of recovery that they offered was the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and you went to class all the time. And the way that it was put to you was sit down, shut up, listen, you're going to be doing this. And that's exactly what I needed. I thought I was going to be there for 90 days. 400 days later, I left. You know, and that's where I met my family. And I first started developing an idea of what a family that I can pick and choose my family. Actually, no, God does that for me. I have no choice in that because some of them are, ooh, a little wacky, huh? But it's a wonderful thing. When I saw the newcomers, when the newcomers were introducing themselves, and I do not remember what time I started, I get a little jealous. And it's a good jealousy because that's what it's about. When people say, what keeps you coming back? It's the newcomer because there's hope. And I hope you don't get anything that you want. I really don't. I hope you get what you need, because you will. If you sit down, if you pay attention, if you work the steps, if you go to meetings and don't drink between meetings and get a sponsor, your life is going to change too. And believe me, if I'm any example, my life did not change in any way that I expected. If anybody 3 years ago, 4 years ago would have sat down and said, you're going to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous full of a bunch of people looking at you that you do not know and feel okay about it, that you're not going to have a car, you're not going to have this, you're going to be working as a chef when you're an accountant by trade, making $400 a week no matter how long you work, and you're going to look at that and be happy with your life, I would have been like, oh, those drugs that you're doing, switch. Quit. Okay, they're not working for you, because they're certainly not working for me. You know, my world has gotten a lot smaller. Before I could fly to, I'd have offices in the United Kingdom and fly over there. I'd have this. My world has gotten smaller, but my life has gotten a lot bigger. You know, the promises, you know, the fear of economic insecurity, I thought that meant you got a lot of money. No, not for me. That's not the way God works. I just live in economic insecurity, and I've just gotten okay with it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I can't fight you there. And there's not a lot of fight left in me. That feeling that I had when I got into recovery is still the same feeling I have. I don't know anything about what we're doing here. I know how to work the steps. I've got sponsees that are just the two brightest, you know. That's the biggest come on in this whole thing is sponsees. I love it. Please get one. If you've been through the steps and you're willing to get a sponsee, they keep you on your toes and you don't even know it. Because you start spouting crap out of your mouth, and you're like, oh, I haven't practiced that one lately. You know? That's just the way it works for me, and it's great. And I own up to it right away. You know, one of them said to me the other week, says, I really don't like this person. And they're like, I'm like, that's allowed. And they're like, really? But please, if you're new, stick with this. You know, like I said, hopefully you don't get anything that you want, but you get everything that you need, because you will. Please stick with it. It's a wonderful journey. My name is Bill, and I'm an alcoholic.